I'm Luke.
And I'm Jason.
We're the guys from That Film Stew, and this is our latest episode where we look at some of the most recent news stories from the world of film and television.
In today's show, would you like some madness for two? Because we've got the first trailer for Joker Folie à Deux. I know I'm going to say that wrong. I said it wrong. I did it. It's actually happening. Transformers crossing over with G.I. Joe. Edgar Wright brings us a remake of The Running Man, and he's found his man who will be running. And remember that show Heroes? It's coming back.
Before we get into it, make sure you subscribe and download this podcast on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, wherever you can find us, and feel free to leave us a review.
And follow us on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as That Film Stew Podcast.
So Jason, how about you kick things off? What is our first movie topic?
Well, let's start with that movie that I can't say the name of. Joker, I'll try again. Folie à Deux?
I think it's, yeah, Folie à Deux.
How did you do that like so easily? Anyway,
I've heard it said many times.
I feel like I have as well, but just my mouth doesn't move that way. Look, the trailer had 167 million views in its first 24 hours, which is Warner Brothers' biggest trailer since Barbie. So records are being broken. Joker's back. Joaquin Phoenix now with Lady Gaga as Harley Quinn, the musical Joker sequel.
Well, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because that first movie absolutely felt like a one and done. I mean, I love that movie. That movie is excellent. When we reviewed it, I gave it 5 out of 5. Great film. And a lot of people were also of the mind of, does it need a sequel? And what even would that sequel... Yes, even would that sequel be where people are going for it? People, you've mentioned the number of people or the number of times people have watched the trailer. I showed the trailer to my wife and the trailer ended and she's like, yeah, it looks really good. I'll watch that. Well, there you go. Like, do you know what I mean? She's like a big comic book person, yeah. Which is like, she didn't, again, like me and like you, think that first movie needed or could have a sequel. But Todd Phillips, back again with Joaquin Phoenix, and just having the creative team back and adding Lady Gaga, like it sounded interesting when it was first announced, but seeing this trailer, how it's cut together, how you can have Joker looking more like the makeup, the outfits, it looks clean, pristine, whereas that first movie was really messy. But it's like dream sequences. It's the musical segments where he's all dolled up and looking good. And then you're having those moments where he's still looking down and dirty. That scene where she puts the lipstick smile on the glass and he leans in, picture perfect. Like, I'm in. This movie absolutely yeah. has my attention. It looks really good. You know, people throw around movie, film, and there's lots of comic book movies. That first one very much was a film, and this looks like a film. It looks like a really interesting piece of cinema. There we go.
And, you know, as you said, you know, and we were there saying, look, and again, no movie ever needs to be made, but sometimes there are those films that you get and you're just like, look, really, a sequel is not needed here. That movie was so contained, perfect, even what it was doing, amazing. But I am now officially, I mean, look, my interest was always piqued and I was like, look, I'm so curious and like, hell, part of the problem, I will watch it. But this trailer really sold it. I'm like, yep, yeah, they're doing it right from what I can see here. The musical side of it, you know, like this has been referred to as Ha Ha Land, which I think is a fantastic.
I do like that.
That's pretty, it's good. It's
Ooh,
good.
I like that a lot.
Yeah. But it's... I don't know. Yeah, like it seems like they're doing what really worked in that first one, but they're doing something really different. And it's like, you know, someone would think, why is this a musical? What is? And it's like, you know what? It makes no sense. It makes no sense that this sequel is a musical. But at the same time, think of the Joker and like his chaotic nature and madness there. And it's like, for that reason, it does make sense because
it's on brand.
Who would have a follow-up film be like, let's do it as a musical. The Joker would, because hilarious. Like, it's just such a bonkers concept.
Well,
it's all fitting.
Yeah.
And again, logically, it all, you know, within the actual narrative, as you said, it's in their delusions. From the title, it's going to be a shared delusion
and
that
that's
they have
it.
together.
It's his reality. And we got that in that first movie. And that reveal in the first movie, when they went back and showed you what was really happening, opposed to what he experienced and what we experienced with him earlier on in the movie. So we've had that already, his perception of things going on, where it's a lot more colourful. I guess Harley Quinn is in his life. But the casting of the casting of Lady Gaga, I should say, very, very interesting. I'm here for it. I'm very, very keen to watch this movie now. That was a great trailer. And again, that lipstick on the glass, brilliant.
Yeah, just visually just great.
Paramount has officially added the still untitled Star Trek Origins story film to its 2025 theatrical release slate, with production expected to start later this year. I've got to be honest, I don't think I knew this was a thing. This is a Star Trek movie that takes place decades before the 2009 Star Trek film, the JJ movie.
So, and I know saying continuity is crazy because of what that movie did to sort of create its own timeline, but this would be a film that's in continuity with those movies.
Do you know what? You've just spun me out, because I'm like thinking, I didn't know they were doing a prequel origin story to those movies. But if you think about it, and we got three JJ produced Star Trek films, but what happened in that 2009 movie that caused the Kelvin timeline, which was then different to previous Star Trek, but that event happened in that movie. If this origin movie is taking place decades before, surely that's before that event happens. So wouldn't it then put it in the normal continuity? I don't even know.
It would still be in continuity with what then became the Kelvin timeline in the 2009 movie onwards, all the way to Star Trek Beyond. But
it's before the event.
It would still be on like the main continuity.
This is the thing.
Timeline, unless right. Batman logic with the spaghetti stuff.
Oh yeah.
That the time travel hijinks goes both ways, and the Kelvin timeline is also out of whack.
Right. Let's go with that. Because otherwise,
they can play them all that way.
In the 2009 movie, I didn't even know this is where this. We were going to take this new story.
Wait, you get me talking about time travel. you strap in. But
Leonard Nimoy turns up in the 2009 movie. And he's William Shatner's Spock. But then he's interacting with Zachary Quinto, who is Chris Pine's Spock. So if we're going... Oh, I'm going to go with the logic from The Flash. Let's go with that.
Because decades prior, you know, like Zachary Quinto would have to be a child. So we'd have to have Spock as a child, if they even have the Spock character, which they probably wouldn't. They'd have, you know, we'd be following Pike and, you know, the Enterprise crew from...
The more I think about it, I'm like, what even is this and why do we need this? You know, Paramount Plus are making a live-action Starfleet Academy show, which is going to be... early in Starfleet, cadets. I don't know. We've got Star Trek on the small screen, and
are they still doing a fourth Kelvin timeline Star Trek film? Like, is that still happening? Chris Pine, Zachary Quinto.
Every now and then, it's brought up, but if they're doing this, I doubt they're doing this a fourth Pine Kirk movie. TV series,
unless this is the fourth movie set in the past, time travel shenanigans, Chris Pine as Kirk, maybe Zachary Quinto as well, past, they appear decades prior to the start of the, you know, you can have those characters, works as a sequel, also a prequel, Star Trek, money. There you go.
First
go
with
have fun.
first with the spaghetti, and now with the time travel. You keep winning me over. You keep winning me over. Because yeah, this
now if
would
they
be...
don't do any of this, I'll be disappointed.
Me too. This would be the fourth Kelvin timeline Star Trek film. So the fourth Star Trek film. Go back to Star Trek IV: The Voyage Home. Time travel. They went back in time.
Yeah,
saved the whales. So there we go. It tracks. It absolutely tracks. But we have spent a lot more time on this story than I thought we would. So let's probably move on.
Chris Pine meets his dad, Chris Hemsworth. Oh my God.
I mean, that was going to happen, wasn't it? They were going to bring Chris Hemsworth back. But again,
mate,
let's...
They can do it.
We need to move on.
I'll move on. Transformers. Transformers.
Still Paramount.
And Transformers and G.I. Joe. I mean, I guess the cat's out of the bag. Kind of spoilers for the most recent movie, but who gives a shit, really? The crossover movie is officially happening. This is the first official confirmation, which arrived following the ending, as I said, Transformers Rise of the Beasts. So, yes. Any thoughts on that before I add the next bit of Transformers?
It's interesting, well. Isn't it? And I was legitimately shocked like when we got that G.I. Joe reveal at the end of Rise of the Beast. But unfortunately, that shocking reveal happened at the end of a very average movie. So
it still baffles me, though. Like, you've got one franchise that, as a G.I. Joe, which just has not worked. Multiple attempts to make it happen. Just it's not working.
I do like them films, though.
Yeah, you're a minority.
Rise of Cobra. Then, what was the other one? Retaliation, I think. With Dwayne Johnson.
And then
I
and
care.
Then Snake Eyes. The franchises, it's not a big thing. And then the Transformers franchise, like going off Rise of the Beast, it's like it's dead, man. Like, if people are watching it, great, but the besides Bumblebee, like the movies have just been pretty.
Bumblebee for me is the best one, and yeah. it was
with that and the fun that you have with the first Transformers film. But other than that,
that's
like,
decent enough.
They're all trash.
Yeah, the first one is decent enough. But what they did with Bumblebee with that 80s setting, I'm going to say I love that film. That is so much fun. Hayley Steinfeld is great in it. John Cena. They're literally calling themselves the Decepticons. It's so much fun. And that
they
was
should have
80s.
Done a follow-up to that. They should have.
Well, that's
done
what
that,
I thought they were doing. But Rise of the Machines, whereas Bumblebee was set in the 80s, Rise of the Machines was going to be set in the 90s.
That's Terminator. That's different robots.
They wasted it. I mean, yes, there's a Mighty Morphin Power Rangers reference, but they really didn't embrace the 90s yeah. like they did with the 80s in Bumblebee. But yeah, okay.
Well, look, you put these two, let's just call it what it is, two shitty franchises together. Hopefully they want to hope that they make money. All right, all good.
To be fair, we're not the audience, but there is a big audience for Transformers and G.I. Joe. I'm sure that audience is very excited about this crossover.
I wish those three people very well. All right. We also got the official logo for Transformers 1, which is cool. September 13th is when we're getting that. Now, this is an animated film, yeah?
It is. It's the one that they've cast Chris Hemsworth as the voice of Optimus Prime. And I think Scarlett Johansson's in
Star
there.
Trek.
Yep. His most famous role outside of Cabin in the Woods.
He's up and coming. Keep an eye on him. I see big stuff in his future.
But Transformers, well, yeah. We got a logo, a bit of a teaser. We should say, what's it called? I'm blanking. It's not Comic Con. Is it Comic Con? No, what's he?
CinemaCon. So the.
CinemaCon.
Yeah. The thing
that's the thing that happened.
It's for theater owners and people in correlation to distributors and stuff like that. All that, but you know, you've got other like media pundits and stuff attending those things, and you know, stars and stuff promoting bits of
even
bit.
Though
the whole thing.
I'd been following the hashtag, I legit forgot CinemaCon. that's it. Yeah. But some of the news stories we're talking about here came from CinemaCon, and Paramount Well, all the studios were there, but some more than others made more of an impression, and Paramount seemed to get a lot of positive attention, including Transformers G.I. Joe. So again, there is an audience, but there we go. So they put a little teaser together, logo reveal for Transformers 1. Glenn Powell will star as the lead in Edgar Wright's Running Man remake. This is an Arnie film, The Running Man, that I'd never seen until earlier this year. So I finally watched it. Have you seen The Running Man?
I'm gonna be honest, I'm pretty sure I haven't, to be
Right.
fair.
I've come prepared, right? Not so much for that movie, but the original story. Originally published in 1982 under Stephen King's pseudonym Richard Bachman, it is set in a dystopian America and follows a man who joins a deadly game show in a desperate attempt to secure funds for his sick daughter. So some changes were made for the Arnie movie, but the story is essentially there. So where we had Arnie in the 80s, Glenn Powell is going to be the star of Edgar Wright's Running Man.
Yeah, isn't like the one with Arnie, isn't he just like kidnapped and put in the games? Or, I mean, I have no idea. I literally have not watched it, so
I mean, I
got
said
no
that I
clue
did watch it, so I should have an answer for you.
there.
I do think he is put in the games, yeah. I think he's
Yeah, he's just, but this one, like the book has obviously like there's a motivation and stuff. There's like
yeah,
a,
which
yeah.
I can see Edgar Wright leaning more into for his version of the story, or yeah. But
That's interesting. Like, if anything, this makes me want to look into this Stephen King, but well, if we can call it that, the
Richard
Richard
Bachman.
Bachman. Like, it's weird. So there's a book out there written by Stephen King, doesn't have his name on it.
Nope.
Bizarre. Like, what? It's because it's not a horror? Like, what? What?
Yeah, I mean,
Don't
it happens. Sometimes authors go under a pseudonym, and I guess
know. He wasn't too confident in his book.
that is his.
Look, is Glenn Powell the next Arnold Schwarzenegger?
I mean, I didn't mean to laugh like that, but no. Like, from what we've seen of Glenn Powell, he's one to watch. He's been doing, some action roles. We'd seen him in Top Gun Maverick, more recently in a romantic comedy with Sydney Sweeney, Anyone But You.
And that
So
was
he's
a big
doing,
movie like that did well, so he's
it did. He's doing
yeah.
different type of things and working with Edgar Wright. This is obviously going to be a good thing for his career, but it's the reason why I laughed is because Arnie is a bit of an anomaly. Like, if you look at where he came from and everything that he went through and having made all this money in real estate, and then he was doing acting and bodybuilding and all this different kind of stuff, and he was really, he's again like one in a
I mean,
million, Arnie.
I feel like he was a governor at some point, but
Yeah,
that
no,
might
he
have
did
just
that as
been.
well. And then he came back
No,
to
it wasn't a fever
acting
dream that happened. Yeah.
and one time made a movie and he was pregnant and Diane DeVito was there and Emma Thompson was there. He's
No.
had a career. He's had a career. That movie that wasn't as good as Twins? Yeah.
Want to watch that again. Give me
Which
some
one?
junior.
Not Junior, surely.
Junior.
Oh, once is enough for me.
It's crazy. It's just insane. Anyway, so we've also got the Maxine trailer, which if you don't know what this is, Ty West, X, Pearl, this is the third film in his like a little trilogy. Does it have a name? Does it have a name? Is it just the X trilogy or something? Doesn't matter. Whatever. This trailer sees Mia Goth back, reprising the role of Maxine from X. Now she played two roles in that movie, just to she the old lady was Pearl, and she also played the young Maxine. This is a sequel rather than Pearl being the prequel about the old lady when she was younger. It's mental. So this we catch up with
Yeah.
Maxine. It's glitzy, it's set in the 80s. There's a gory slasher element. They're taking the oh there's the what is the killer thingy's name? I am
Is
blanking
it
on it.
the
The Night Stalker. The Night
Night
Stalker.
Stalker
Yes.
that's here?
So the real, it's obviously taken a real serial killer that ran around in the 80s. Maybe familiar, like they did a one of the seasons of American Horror Story featured him as a bit of an antagonist, doing a bit of slashy slashy. This looks pretty fun. I do love how these films are all of one piece, but have such a uniqueness to them that you wouldn't be criticized for thinking they were completely unrelated movies.
Yeah, and to think as well, X and Pearl both came out in the same year, 2 years ago. And now we're getting the third movie in the trilogy. And there is differences, but I think it should have a name. It doesn't actually have a name. I think they just refer to it as the X and Pearl horror trilogy. I'm sure they'll come up with
Maybe
something.
it's just Ty West horror trilogy, Ty West
Yeah.
trilogy.
Yeah. Maybe, maybe. But yeah, this is a good looking trailer. You see Bates Motel, which is pretty cool because this is, based around movie making as well as having
Yeah.
the slasher element. It looks really interesting. And Mia Goth, I know she'd done things before X, but that's the movie. I think maybe not just me, like other people like really started to notice her. Like she's got such a presence, and that final shot of her at the end of Pearl. It's so uncomfortable to watch. Like, it's so uncomfortable. You start to feel like she can really see you, like she's looking at you. Yeah. Yeah. These
That
movies are
image
interesting.
is that image is so engraved in my brain that I feel like I
Oh,
could like
I can see it
I can
now.
paint it. I can paint it, man.
I'm closing my eyes and I can see Mia Goth looking at me. Or was it Pearl? I don't know. I can see it.
Well,
I can
it's
see her
me and
looking at me.
God. Like it is, it's me and God either way.
But
But
I
no, that is
remember,
that one was Pearl.
like, X came out in 2022, and then it's like later this year we've got the follow-up,
Yeah, we've
Pearl.
actually already made the prequel. We've made
Made
it
it
already,
already.
and we made it at
Made
the
it
same time.
already.
And it's like, what? Like, what are you talking
Also, it's going to be
about?
the same movie again. Absolutely not. We're going to take elements of The Wizard of Oz. We're going to take all these different influences. That sounds interesting, and it was, two very,
Yeah.
very good movies that I'm planning to have a rewatch of, both of them, ahead of this new one. But
And it's still
yeah.
bonkers. Like Mia Goth in X played a a young Maxine, but then also played and the old lady Pearl. We get the prequel where Mia Goth reprises the role as Pearl. Looks exactly like Maxine in that first movie, and then now it's like the next movie we're back with Maxine, Mia Goth in the role again, obviously. But she's blonde now. Like it's, I don't know. It's just crazy, but it works. No one's questioning it. You'd accept it, and you just enjoy it because it's she's amazing.
And the cast
Watch
as
out for her.
well.
Like just
Yeah,
watch her. Watch
she's
her.
one to watch. But the supporting
Her and Chris
cast,
Hemsworth. Like get it done.
the supporting cast, Bobby Cannavale is in here, Kevin Bacon, some other recognizable faces, which, although, X, he did have Jenna Ortega, but it was before everybody knew who Jenna Ortega was. Kid Cudi was in there. Obviously, he's got a music career and he was in Bill and Ted 3. But do you know what I mean? It's like they were smaller movies, and just 2 years later, they've got Kevin Bacon. They've got Bobby Cannavale. It's become a much bigger thing. But yeah, I'm curious though. Ty West, what is he going to call this trilogy? Have to wait and see. There were the big stories. Now on to some smaller film news.
All right, well, we've got a Chris Farley biopic with Paul Walter Hauser playing the legendary comedian and Josh Gad directing. Is in the works. I know you're a big fan of Chris Farley. I think we
Oh,
even
mate.
mentioned him a bit on
Yeah.
our last movie news episode. Is this something you'd watch?
Oh, mate. Absolutely. Absolutely. I've just finished rewatching. I like to do them as a trilogy. Tommy Boy, Black Sheep, Beverly Hills Ninja. Of course, Tommy Boy is the classic out of the three. Black Sheep has its moments. I watch Beverly Hills Ninja because of Chris Farley. I'm a fan, whether it's his time on SNL, when he first popped up in Wayne's World, is in Coneheads. Yeah, I am a big Chris Farley fan. And I've been looking into this a little bit. Paul Walter Hauser, you may recognize him as Stingray from Cobra Kai. You may recognize him from more pristine film work, but he is himself a Chris Farley fan. So what he's been saying, what's talking about this movie, because they're looking, getting it made, he's saying that this is respecting Chris Farley. Like this is not poking fun. Like they're going to make this with the right best intentions.
And
And
that's the important takeaway, I think. That's good to hear.
Absolutely. See, it's essentially Paul Walter Hauser as a fan of Chris Farley, playing Chris Farley, and having Josh Gad directing, which I think is his first time, isn't it? Directing.
It could be. It could be. Might be mistaken, but yeah, potentially. But look, this isn't like a big, if this isn't going to be like a big budget special effects heavy kind of, like production thing. This will be, if this is his first thing, it's a good thing for him to, take a bite, cut his teeth a little bit on.
Yeah.
And look, with Paul Walter Hauser, like the fact is, like, he's got so much, like, a diverse range in what he has done, from, like you said, from his role in Cobra Kai, like featuring in the After Party, to the more prestige things, as you said, like Richard Jewell, like things like Black Klansman. And this guy can act to the point where he's almost like a chameleon. Like, he can do various different things. A more of a silly role in like Queen Pins. There's a lot that he can do. Like, so I reckon he can encapsulate Chris Farley,
Oh, me
especially if he
too.
has that passionate, following of him.
Well, and we've seen, like, Chris Farley over the years, the physicality. And what we'd seen in Chris Farley, we've seen in Paul Walter Hauser in Cobra Kai, his Stingray. So he's shown us some of that, physicality, some pratfalls. It can be funny. Yeah,
But
no, I
then
reckon
also
he's a good
bring a
choice.
dramatic side to it. So yeah, I reckon, yeah, solid choice.
Should say as well, Lorne Michaels, Mr. Saturday Night Live himself, is producing this movie.
There you go. All right.
It's a really good time to be a fan of SNL. There's that movie being made, SNL 75, which is a film about the genesis of Saturday Night Live. And you're going to have people cast as a young Bill Murray, Chevy Chase, Dan Aykroyd, all these guys. So that's happening. I'm not sure if you've seen the most recent episode, or at least clips of the most recent episode of SNL, with Ryan Gosling hosting the Beavis and Butthead sketch. Have you seen that?
I haven't, no.
I'll send it to you. It is amazing. The cast completely loses it. Nobody can keep it together. It is hilarious. Anyway,
Always great when that happens.
it's a great time to be an SNL fan. The Borderlands movie has shared a new image and teases Cate Blanchett with a flamethrower. It's pretty cool. It's an image, I know, it's an audio medium, but I'm interested in this movie. I've never played
I
the
mean,
video game. I'm interested. We've got Eli Roth directing. This is something very different for him. And did I mention Cate Blanchett with a flamethrower?
and look, Cate Blanchett always brings a little bit of class to whatever she's in, even if it's something garbage. The fact is that it's Cate Blanchett and a flamethrower. You can't really argue with that. Look, I'm not completely sold on this movie, though. I've got a weird sick curiosity about it, but shit like this makes me kind of, yeah, it tickles me a bit. I'm like, all right, it's gonna be wacky, it's gonna be bonkers, let's just embrace that, let it
It could be
happen. But
fun. It could be
exactly,
fun.
I can't lie and say I'm overly excited about this, but when it comes out, I'm sure I'll check it out, and I'm hoping just to have a good time with it. So that's my stance on it. But an image like this does make me go, yeah, okay, there's potential. Wacky, man. Yeah, wacky. All right, Trey Parker and Matt Stone. Oh, you know them from South Park, Book of Mormon, Team America, that kind of stuff. They're teaming up with Kendrick Lamar on their new musical, which is set to hit cinemas on the 4th of July, 2025. The film will follow a young black man interning as a slave reenactor at a living history museum, who discovers that his white girlfriend's ancestors once owned his. So,
Face value doesn't sound funny, but I'm sure it will be. I'm sure it will be. Have you seen the Book of Mormon?
the wife and I, we went to the live thing. I mean, I don't think there's been another adaptation of it. I don't think so. I guess
I mean,
that is the only version.
that is the one. And I remember watching it thinking that one of the main guys kind of looked like Josh Gad, and then looked into it, like he was part of the original. But Josh Gad was part of the original production, so I guess whenever they were casting it afterwards, let's get a Josh Gad type, and that's what they went for. I have never laughed as much as when I watched the Book of Mormon. So, so funny. And of course, South Park, you mentioned Team America. These guys are very funny. Very, very funny. So I'm sure this is going to be a funny movie.
Like, you know that they can have fun with stuff. They can poke fun. They can push the boundaries to an extreme. But at the end of the day, they're always, like, everyone's a target, which makes it okay. That's how they get away with it. And it's always cleverly written. There's actually a smart... did I say intelligent already? They're obviously smarter than me. They always have an intelligent approach to the comedy and the jokes that it's like, you can't help but, you can't argue with it, because it's like, yep, they're bang on and they have fun with it. So look, they're obviously going into a subject matter that it's like, ooh, you know, like it's edgy, it's touchy, but I think this would be fun. And you know what? The Book of Mormon, every time I knock on a door, which happens occasionally, for some reason I can't help but go, hello. Oh, because I'm a nut.
It's hilarious. Like the play really is hilarious.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, we only had access to the, I guess, like when we get those live shows here, you know, we get like local Australian artists putting it on. They did a bang up job, and they put on American accents, and it was great. It worked.
I loved it, but honestly. Yeah, I'm sure we both watched it at the same place, and yeah, I thought it was great.
You kind of want to be like, oh, I wish I got to see the actual Broadway version of it, you know, like with, like, you know, the likes of Josh Gad in it and stuff like that. It, yeah. But it's all good.
Okay, good. Hey, Keanu Reeves will voice Shadow in Sonic the Hedgehog 3. What are your thoughts on this? I know you're looking forward to this movie and Shadow being in it.
Anticipated movie of the year.
I remember. Still is. Who saw Keanu Reeves coming? Not me.
Nah, look, there's a few names floating around, like Hayden Christensen, for example. But look, you look at the type of character that Shadow is, you know, like the ultimate life form, basically like the anti-Sonic, the moody, brooding, you know, rough hedgehog fella. Keanu Reeves can make that happen, you know, with his like roughness. You know, I think of his animated Batman voice, and I'm like,
I know, but his animated Batman voice sounds like Keanu Reeves doing Batman. I'm thinking, what was the stuntman in Toy Story 4?
Duke Kaboom, was it?
I'm thinking he's going to go somewhere in that area. Duke Kaboom.
I think, like, if they handle the Shadow character, you know, how they should... You're going to need the moody, broody side of it, which I think Keanu Reeves can do. But then I think there will be times where you'll get a softer side of Shadow. You'll get him integrated into the, you know, like the band of Sonic and friends and all of that. Not to say that he'll be, you know, best friends with them, but he'll, you know, we'll get him softening up, and we'll have him in like goofy scenarios and stuff. And I think we will, much like you said, a Duke Kaboom type, you know, to sort of silly, goofy kind of tones to it. And I think Keanu Reeves will be able to bring both. I think this is a great choice. Like, I like this. So look,
I really
up there. I'm on board, man.
I really like Keanu Reeves as an actor, but he does Keanu Reeves. And I like him for it. Like, I really do like Keanu Reeves.
Again, I think that works for Shadow.
It's a PG Sonic movie, so, you know,
exactly, like
it's fine. I wonder if they're gonna give him a whoa moment. He's gonna just say whoa at some stage. Who knows? I mean,
yeah, but look, there's a few other, like, you know, Sonic stuff that came out of like CinemaCon. Apparently there was some footage of, you know, like Jim Carrey's return as, you know, Robotnik, Eggman, whatever you want to call him. And apparently they're really going for his more traditional look. Like, they're gonna do almost like a montage-y type thing where he just sort of bludges around, he's just eating on a couch, and he's gonna get rounder.
Oh, that's interesting.
I am all for it. And look, I'm just glad that Jim Carrey's back, because there were talks that he wasn't gonna be, and that's just madness.
So, well, after Sonic 2, he was going to retire, wasn't he?
Well,
and I remember saying at the time, don't let Sonic 2, which is a fun movie, don't let that be his final film.
But maybe okay. Sonic 3 will, and it's going to be the best movie of the year. It's going to be, mate, it's going to be so much fun. I cannot wait. Paramount Pictures is partnering with Fast and Furious and, oh, there we go, Sonic the Hedgehog producer Neil H. Moritz to reboot the Scary Movie franchise. Now, I don't care what anyone else says. These movies are fun until you get to the fifth one. And that's just hot garbage.
Yeah.
But after one through two, four, they get different. Three and four get... It's a different vibe. It's more of a, a Naked Gun airplane kind of vibe.
Exactly right, and that's not
more my stride of humor.
Yeah, that's not where it started though. The first scary movie, the sequel. I rewatched the first one the other day, and so much that's in that movie they would not be able to get away with today. So I'm curious for today's audiences. What Scary Movie is going to look like. But they made Scary Movie into what it was, and then the second one, and then it became something different. It was the airplane and Naked Gun guys who took over Scary Movie. But I'm with you, though, as soon as five happens, and then we're getting things like Disaster Movie, Epic Movie, Date Movie, Meet the Spartans, and all
the
parody of them.
The spoof movies just became... It was more just like pop culture references and things rather than actual, you know, like jokes. And with Scary Movie 5, like, you know, we lost Anna Faris. She wasn't back. Like, you didn't have returning cast members. It was, well, I think it was like Ashley Tinsel or some rubbish and some
wasn't
other bird.
Charlie Sheen back in 5? He was in 4, wasn't he? Was he in 3 and 4?
No, I think he was in 3 and 4. I think he did come back for 5, just the opening scene. Does he wake up in bed with like Lindsay Lohan and then he falls and lands? Or is that the beginning of the fourth movie?
Which one opens with Dr. Phil? And is it Shaq O'Neal? And it's like a saucy.
That one's the fourth one.
Right, okay. Oh, do you know what?
I'm pretty sure when I'm
doing a rewatch, the first two are definite. Maybe the third one. I wouldn't even do 4. I think for me, I could do 3. 3 Scary Movie films. But anyway, the reboot.
No, you know what? I like it. 3 and 4, I enjoy them. but you know, we asked the same question when we were talking about the Naked Gun, like reboot, remake, or whatever with Leslie Nielsen. Like, will it go back to that, you know, parody spoof kind of thing? And, you know, I think we both agreed that it's like, yes, it needs to. But then it's like, is the world, society in a place that spoof movies work anymore? And it's like, if we can't laugh, if the world can't laugh at jokes and not be offended by shit, then they're not going to work. And if they can't make the jokes that push those boundaries, you know, like we're talking like what the South Park guys do. Like, we got to just have fun and poke fun at everyone and just whatever. If the world can't do that, this movie won't work because it's just going to be lame. It's going to be like, that's not funny. It's not edgy. It's not cool.
We're both getting older. So we're talking about younger people, like the age that we were, you know, when Scary Movie came out, which was like over 20 years ago.
People suck. They're not funny.
I know, but the thing is, it's like, this might just be my opinion, but younger people seem to be a bit more sensitive and get offended by more things. But do you know what I mean? Because it's like, from memory, like when I was younger, when I was that age, if something, you know, like Scary Movie had a bit of an edge to it, it was a bit naughty, it was like, it was funny. You felt
scenes
like...
Where, like, pubic hair was an afro and, like, you know, a guy would get jerked off in a fridge and then, you know, like,
I mean,
the wall with a spoof. Like, it's...
It felt like you were seeing something that you shouldn't be seeing, or it was exciting. Yeah. Like, do you know what I mean? You felt like you were getting away with something and that it was... We liked that. It just seems like, you know, not all, but some younger people now, they're offended about this and about that. And And they need to want to see a scary movie film because you need younger people going to the movies in groups that are going to make this, you know, reboot a success. But if people are going to be put off because they're offended or whatever else, I don't know, because they can't just count on us. They need younger people turning up.
They might just write a movie that just falls flat and is shit. Like a large abundance of parody movies over the
past. Again, like going back to that first scary movie, and you know, before you know, the airplane guys came on board, it was the Waynes, not just Marlon Waynes and Sean Waynes, who were in the movie. Was it Keenan Ivory Waynes that he directed it? You know, so it was very much like a Waynes movie.
Yeah, there was like another one. I was like, there's another one. I thought there was only two. Like, it blew my mind.
And there's that. Damon Waynes, there's Damon Waynes Jr., and there's a lot of Waynes.
Yeah, then there's Bruce Wayne. And
anyway, well, that's it for the movie news. Now on to TV news.
Look, Star Trek. Mentioned that once or twice today. Star Trek Strange New Worlds will return for a fourth season. And the final season of Star Trek Lower Decks arrives on Paramount Plus this fall. You're the one, Star Trek TV, you're up to date. You have the dog in the fight.
I love the fact that we're getting more Strange New Worlds, but honestly, heartbroken over Lower Decks. I love it. Absolutely love Lower Decks. As soon as a new episode drops, I'm watching it. It's so fun. It's great as a Star Trek show, and it is great as a comedy show. It's really funny. So this final is season disappointing.
Three or four.
It is going to be, I think it's five. I think it's going to be five.
Oh, wow. Wow. Of Lower Decks.
Lower Decks. I think that's where it's got to. I think it's like 10 episodes per season. But honestly, because, you know, everybody saw the Strange New Worlds news first. It's like, oh, wow. This is great news. And then the Lower Decks news followed. So, yeah, it's going to be the fifth and final season, which is a shame because what they've been doing for the season posters is a homage to the movies. And the original series crew got six movies with Undiscovered Country. So, unfortunately, we will not see a Lower Decks version of that poster. So yeah, so it's going to be the fifth and final season. So it, oh man, was it last year? Paramount were making this big deal about celebrating 50 years of animated Star Trek since the original, you know, animated series with the original crew. Mm. And it was that year that they'd cancelled Star Trek Prodigy. Later got picked up by Netflix. And then a year later, after celebrating 50 years of animated Star Trek, they cancel their last remaining Star Trek animated series. But anyway, so we're getting the fifth and final season of Lower Decks. Discovery ends with its fifth and final season this year. So we're just going to be having Strange New Worlds, the Section 31 movie with Michelle Yeoh, which is a TV movie, and the Starfleet Academy show that they're working on. So there's a few changes happening, but fortunately, which is now going to be their flagship Star Trek show, Strange New Worlds will return for a fourth season. So we can at least get excited about that.
With my very minimal knowledge of like the current status of, because as you know, I'm not up to date with it, or I've checked out each of the series, as you know, like a handful of episodes and stuff, but I do think that Strange New Worlds is, at least for what I like Star Trek to be, is the best stuff. So
100%.
Yeah,
no, it like, is. Yeah.
Yeah. Thumbs up for that being the current show that is continuing. So yeah, bring it on. It's a good show.
We need to move on because I'm legitimately sad about Lower Decks. Heroes creator Tim Kring is pitching a sequel series called Heroes Eclipsed to potential buyers. The new series is reportedly set years after the events of the original series and will feature new heroes plus new and familiar villains. Ah, Heroes. Remember that first amazing season of television?
absolutely perfect
so
season.
good.
Beginning, middle, end. Had a through line. It was great. Great characters. Bit of gore.
And then
everything resolved.
And then we got more seasons. And then years later, we got Heroes. I want to say Reborn. Was it Heroes Reborn?
Reborn. Yeah.
Just,
you know,
they
like, take
didn't,
the name off that, that Marvel run.
They could not. It didn't work. Heroes Reborn didn't work. But Tim
I
Kring,
found some enjoyment to it. But I mean, I'd invested myself in the first four seasons of Heroes quite avidly.
And that's
I'm
it.
Aware of the quality difference in the seasons compared to the first one. Look, season two had like, there was like writer strikes back then.
Was season two. That's what derailed things so early on. But cast your mind back. But I was going to say, Tim Kring is trying again. Good on him. Cast your mind back.
This does feel
back.
Like Heroes Reborn again, though. Like this, the
it
premise,
does.
They literally could be describing Heroes Reborn. It's set a few years later. There's new characters. There's some old returning characters. Yeah, that's Heroes Reborn. Like that.
I don't,
it just seems
I don't
like
know.
Doing that again.
I don't know if it can work as well as it. Well, it didn't work as well for Reborn, did it? I don't think Heroes can work as well now as it did back then. Because cast your mind back. Because cast your mind back to the early 2000s. What did we have? If you wanted, like, say, DC Comics, like something, you know, comic book, Smallville.
Yeah.
On the big screen, we had Unbreakable. We got Heroes. That's the type of comic book adaptions or comic book content we were getting. So Heroes really thrived. Because we didn't have the MCU. You know, we didn't have all this legitimate comic book content. So again, Smallville, Unbreakable, Heroes. And there was, you know, some other examples, but they were the main things that we had at the time.
Make you
I don't
right
know.
Now it's there's just so much of it. But look, I think like one of the main reasons that Heroes started to struggle is that like they had to pull back on the budget somewhere. Like it was an expensive show. Anytime they like had someone using powers and stuff, like it was just eating shit up. So they had to make contrived like storylines where characters weren't, you know, using powers and other bit. And then you just kind of got just like this melodramatic sort of soap opera kind of TV drama rather than superhero action for a lot of it. So, I mean, maybe things are different now, like with, you know, CGI being cheaper and more accessible. Maybe they can have a bit more fun to it. But you're right. Like, are people going to lean towards like a revival of this IP that isn't necessarily nostalgic at this point? It's not that old, I don't think. Oh my God, I've got to do some maths.
It's at least 20 years.
But there's, holy shit, what?
That's I mean, that's quite a while.
Wasn't it? Oh,
it was the
God,
I'm sure it was the early 2000s, that Heroes.
Well, it was around that writer's strike, so it would have been
oh,
like
2006. So, right, okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was
okay.
earlier than that. Okay, so it was a little bit after Unbreakable.
It's still like 17 years, 18 years or something. Like
18 years. It's nearly two decades. Nearly 20 years. It's not quite as old.
Is the nostalgia there? I don't know. But look, I've been whinging that like not enough of my shows that I watched, you know, sort of growing up, even like in my teens, I get in all these revivals and stuff. And then one happens and I'm like, well, then it's not going to be it. You're like, you know what? Let them do it. I'll watch it. Screw it.
I'll watch it. Yeah.
Because there's too many superhero things out there, which is fair, which is completely fair. That's fine. Which just means we probably won't get a second season of Heroes Eclipsed or whatever it's called. That's okay. Hopefully they wrap up the story in that season just in case it doesn't happen. And I'm sure in 10 years, they'll do another Heroes reboot. They'll just give it a crack again. Just keep going. Why not?
You know, before we move on, that first season, save the cheerleader, save the world. Perfection. And then you've got Siler. Oh, man, it was so good. And Peter Petrelli and his brother, Nathan. Oh, it was just thrilling week to week for that first season. Anyway.
Yeah, just the mystery behind, like, what's Peter's powers?
Yes.
It was like he could copy powers, which
and then
was
Siler's whole thing where he can also copy powers, but he needs to cut open the head and see the brain and see the powers, and it's cool,
but
man.
Then like I think it must have been after season one, like Peter just got overpowered. He had all of the powers because he could hold on to multiple ones, and they had basically just had to strip him. They had to just be like, no, can't do it anymore because
too powerful.
It just got ridiculous. Yeah, it's just too much. Like that idiot from Secret Invasion.
Oh, mate, we're never going to see that character again. She's too powerful. Yeah, anyway, let's...
Yeah, crazy. I have to put her in a box into the Phantom Zone.
She's
different
too
universe,
powerful.
I don't care. Whatever. All right, Monarch, Legacy of Monsters has officially been renewed for season two, which I think is good based on what I've seen of the series. I haven't bloody finished it yet, though, but I'm glad because it's the best part of the Monsters universe. Yeah, you know, did not like that recent movie. Apple TV Plus will also develop multiple spin-off series based on the franchise. So I'm sure we're going to get, like, you know, the Monkey Titans or whatever from the most recent movie, or I don't know. What was that dog thing called? That was cool. A Mothra series? Why the hell not? I don't know. No idea.
I can see the TV shows from what I've seen of Monarch. I've yet to finish it as well. More people based, and then obviously the MonsterVerse. So you're going to see these monsters on occasion, but it's more of what I guess we got in that first movie, Godzilla, where it was essentially Godzilla, but from people's point of view. So you experience it from how they were seeing Godzilla. That was a really good first movie. Gareth Edwards, wasn't it, who did the first one? And then Kong, Skull Island was bloody great. And then all the other movies have been meh for the most part. But they clearly have an audience. Just look at the box office and the fact they're making a season two of Monarch Legacy of Monsters and multiple spin-offs. So definitely an audience there. Well, that's it for TV news. Now on to the recommends.
All right, so just to set the stage for my recommend, there was a video game that I played on PlayStation 3 many years ago. I played it for about 2 hours, got bored of it, and never went back to it ever again. The game was called Fallout. Now, I checked out the show because I was like, you know what, looks pretty cool. It's got that one actress from Yellow Jackets and a few other familiar faces, and it seems pretty cool, apocalyptic, whatever. Maybe more fun than the show. And happy to say, Fallout on Amazon Prime is a lot more fun than the game. To be fair, when I played the game, though, I never actually got to the bit where I left the vault and explored, like, the, you know, the apocalyptic world. So maybe I missed out a little bit of the video game. Might go back to it. Who knows? This is a great show. It's fun. I believe it's 8 episodes. I'm 6 episodes through. Hopefully they land the landing. Is that the phrase? I don't know.
Stick the landing.
Stick the landing. There you go. Thanks for that. Keeping me on track. So hopefully they stick the landing with the last 3 episodes. But if you're unfamiliar, post-apocalyptic drama, obviously based on the Fallout video game. What else can I say without, you know, really spoiling too much? It's created by Tim Kaine and Leonard Barsky. It's got, you know, stars Ella Purnell, Aaron Morton, Cole McLaughlin, Walter Goggins as well, playing a ghoul. So a ghoul, she has no nose, which is good. But basically the premise is it depicts the aftermath of the Great War of 2077, which an apocalyptic nuclear exchange pretty much destroys the planet. It's all set on an alternate history Earth and stuff, where it's like everything's like a futuristic retro, you know, like 50s 60s style kind of things, and then obviously with the world sort of coming to an end there, all of the other things that we see when we are in the present day of like 2200 and whatever it is, it's all like, it's still got that like old school style. So a lot of the music is all like 50s, you know, like timely and stuff. But basically it's all about an incident happens in one of the vaults that we've got these people like sort of hoarded up in, you know, awaiting you know, the time eventually where they can resurface and, you know, re-kickstart the world. But something sort of happens. Ella Parnell's character, Lucy, has to go up to the surface and do some stuff. Again, don't want to reveal too much about what's going on. But obviously, like, there's ghouls, there's mutants, there's zombie-type characters. There's obviously the radiation is a problem. There's a military unit that is sort of causing a bit of grief and stuff. There's all this crazy stuff happening. There's a good humorous tone to it. There's a bit of violence as well, which is pretty stylized, but there's, you know, there's some fun shit there. It's a fun show. I've spoken a lot. Have you watched this, or are you planning on it now, at least, if not?
I haven't watched it. I was already planning on watching it. I've heard really good things. I've said it many times on here. I'm not a gamer. Not a video
gamer. Yeah.
I mean, I think the last console I played properly would have been like a PlayStation 3. I do own a Switch, but it's mainly for the kids. I'm not a gamer. But this looks like a good show, just like The Last of Us. I wasn't watching it as an adaptation as a video game. I was watching it as this new TV show.
I will, just on that comparison, it's not The Last of Us. Like, it's not to that level, but there's a ton of enjoyment to still
it looks
have.
Fun, though.
Yes.
Walter Goggins, you know, he's always fun. Like you say, he's playing a character named Ghoul, has no nose. That's interesting.
He's our Ghoul.
Ooh, Aghoul. Interesting.
He's playing Aghoul. So, yeah, that's Aghoul. Not his character's name, but he's like a radiated, mutated guy that's like 200 years old. It's fantastic.
Oh,
like,
that's interesting.
And he has a hat. He has a cowboy hat, which is great.
I mean, Walter Goggins, you know, can pull off a cowboy hat. Anyway, I good recommend. I'll be checking that out for sure. Now, I am going to recommend a British dark comedy thriller TV series. It's a show called Passenger. It's been described as Happy Valley meets Stranger Things. Or another comparison I heard recently was Twin Peaks meets Heartbeat. Pretty much using like British cop shows as an example and mixing it with like a with mystery or sci-fi. The show is set in a fictional town called Chaddervale. It is a 6-part series exploring a insular community that shares a real distrust of outsiders. But there's this mystery. Is it supernatural? You're following the cops and then people in the village. People are going missing. So there's this big mystery and it's really entertaining. It really is. It's like a small village in England. And it's like, you know, Stranger Things as an example, like how people in Hawkins deal with these mysterious events, but it's like through the prism of people in an English village, which is very, very different. And I don't know, man, I really like it. It is really good. And, you know, yep, comedy, but it really is a thriller. There's, you know, gore, there's something happening, but there is a big mystery. And again, it's only 6 parts, and I'm not going to spoil it, but there is a cliffhanger. These types of shows, yes, at the end of the season, these types of shows do have a cliffhanger. Some people, and I'm talking about vocal TV viewers, they complained that the show was a waste of time, saying the finale failed to resolve the mystery. But it's like, that's not a failure of the show. It's just setting things up for hopefully a second series. But anyway.
Yeah. Oh, man. People would not sit through Lost these days. They would not.
Absolutely not.
Would never make it.
But it's a good one. It is a good one. Passenger, really good. Oh, one of the main stars. So again, you are following different characters, but one of the main one is a cop played by Wunmi Masuku. You would know her as Ruby Baptiste in HBO's Lovecraft Country, or you may know her as Hunter B-15 in Loki. So she's been around for a little while now, but I didn't realize she was English. She's very much got an English accent in this show. And David Threlfall, acting. David Fellfall, he's in this as well. He's really known for the original version of Shameless, the English one. But there you go. Passenger.
The premise sounds good. The premise sounds pretty intriguing. So I hadn't heard about this, but 6 episodes, man. Yeah, like, all right.
And that's why we do these recommends, not just for the listeners, but for each other.
I'll keep recommending all the big stuff that everybody's already watching.
Well, that's it for another episode of That Film Stew.
If you haven't already, check out our other shows, Rewind and Review and Sounds Like Comics. Each of those shows also have their own Facebook pages.
If you missed it, be sure to check out our recent review of Monkey Man and stay tuned for our upcoming review of The Fall Guy.
Thanks for joining us for another round of movie and TV news.
You've been listening to Luke.
And you've been listening to Jason.
We're the guys from That Film Stew. See you soon.